we're going to go full disclosure here at the end of the show. I didn't choose the Saints in any question. Eric chose the Saints for the pass rush question. He purposely said, I got first dibs. He messaged me and said, I got first dibs on this question. I'm picking the Saints. So let that be known, people. I argue the Panthers because I refuse to pick the Saints.
Episode of the Falcoholics Crossfire Podcast. This podcast is not like our normal ones. In this format, we pit various writers and editors against each other on a variety of topics. For today's podcast, we have a very special guest. First, however, is our reigning champion. After suffering a defeat at the hands of Adnan Ekic several weeks back, he was faced with taking on our own Gina Matt Online Thomas, and he came out the victor yet again. He is a regular on the Falcoholic Live, our weekly Facebook Live show, and he is one of our fantastic writers at thefalcoholic.com. He is, of course, Eric Robinson. Eric, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. You know, just wanted to mention that I do have a 3-1 record in Crossfire. Just want to throw that out there. The last two wins have been in comeback fashion also. I want to put that out there, too.
But indeed. I digress. An impressive comeback after one round of voting. So, indeed. It was not like going three quarters and giving up a lead. I don't know what that would be like. Anyhow, we're pulling up some fresh wounds. All right. Here to take on Eric this week is a longtime writer and podcaster that many of you may already be familiar with. He is the founder of FalcFans.com, and he is the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast. He is the one and only Aaron Freeman. Aaron, thank you for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm looking forward to knocking Eric down a peg today.
Yes, this is what Crossfire is about.
Heard that before.
I love it. There's already some spit and fire here. All right, here's the format. The combatants will debate six topics tonight. Each side will get exactly 60 seconds to make their case. After both sides have made their case, a 30-second rebuttal will be allowed. There are no rules of decorum, no limits on ad hominem, just good old-fashioned in-your-face debates. Are you guys ready to begin?
Do it.
I am.
All right. This week for our – let me get our stopwatch ready. For the Crossfire podcast, we have an NFC South – focused edition. We're going to look at the NFC South, some questions around the Panthers, the Bucks, the Saints, and of course the Falcons going into the 2019 season. So the first question, Aaron, you will be the first to answer on this one, and this is a very simple one. Looking ahead to the 2019 season, which team will have the better defense? The Carolina Panthers or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Aaron, you say the Panthers will have the better defense going into this season. You have 60 seconds to make your case. Go.
I don't even know if I need 60 seconds. This is a no-brainer. The Panthers are the better defense. They have the more talent. They've been historically better. You've had seven seasons of Luke Kuechly playing and headlining that Panther defense. They've averaged a top 15 finish across those seven seasons. The Buccaneers have had one top 15 finish in the last 7 years. Their average finishes like 23rd in the NFL. You got Luke Kuechly, KK Short, Dontari Poe, Mario Addison, Shaq Thompson, Eric Reed, James Bradbury, Dante Jackson, all returning, and they're going to be able to plug and play with some additional players. Carolina consistently is able to draft good, solid rookies to contribute on that defense. Look, I'm not sitting here saying the Carolina is going to have the world's greatest defense, but they're certainly going to have a much better defense than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are virtually talentless, particularly after they lose Gerald McCoy and Quan Alexander this offseason.
Five. Excellent. Man, I think this format fits Aaron well. That is quite an opening salvo, Eric. You've got a formidable opponent here, my friend. I love it. Eric, you've got 60 seconds to make your case for the Bucs having the better defense going into 2019. Go.
Look, I get it. you know, on paper, the Panthers do have the better defense. They have the more established veterans, but they also don't have a pass rush. They had one of the worst pairs of safeties in the league last year, not to mention their head coach in Ron Rivera is pretty much on the hot seat this upcoming season. Let's be quite honest. And I think there's a lot of distractions that can be going on, and we may very well not see the Panthers make the playoffs because of this. The Bucs, they have a fresh start. They have Bruce Arians, but more importantly, they have Todd Bowles on board now as their new defensive coordinator. And we all are aware of what Todd Bowles can do as just a defensive coordinator, let alone the head coach, but just as a defensive guy, we know what he can do. He has some talent that he's able to work with. Let's not forget they got Jason Pierre-Paul last offseason. They got Vita Vea healthy, and he played pretty well for the second half of the season after he got healthy last year. He still has Quan Alexander, still has Lavonte David, still has a young safety
in Justin to work with. All right. Aaron, you've got 30 seconds for your rebuttal. Go.
Look, Quan Alexander's gone. Gerald McCoy's gone. Their talent that Todd Bowles is going to be working with is going to be bottoming out. Yeah, look, long-term, Todd Bowles is probably going to be able to rebuild that defense in a couple of years. But the question is about 2019. In 2019, Carolina's defense is going to be coming in with a much higher ceiling, a much higher floor than Tampa Bay's, and it's as simple as that.
All right. Eric, 30 seconds to finish this one out. You have 30 seconds. Go.
I wouldn't necessarily as much higher because, again, you pointed out Kawan Short is coming back next year, but that's their best defensive lineman, and he's an interior guy. They still have no pass rush. They're going to lose Thomas Davis this offseason. Is Shaq Thompson ready for an elevated role? Again, who's going to play on the back end? There's a lot of questions for this Panthers defense, more than we think, compared to the Bucs from the press start.
All right. We are off to a fantastic start already. I thought this would happen. Eric, Aaron, fantastic job on the first question. Let's get to the second one. This one is going to be very similar to the first, two different teams. And Eric, you're going to start us off with this question. And it's this: going into the 2019 season, which team will have the better offense, the New Orleans Saints or the Atlanta Falcons? Eric, you've got 60 seconds. You're making the case that the Atlanta Falcons will have the better of these two teams offensively in 2019. You have 60 seconds, sir. Go.
To somewhat copy Aaron on the first question, I don't think I need the entire 60 seconds for this one. We know what the Falcons have on board coming into next year with Matt Ryan, with Julio Jones, with Calvin Ridley, with a rejuvenated Austin Hooper and Mohamed Sanu as well. The Saints, they have an old quarterback who's 41 years old with a $33.5 million price tag hanging around his neck. Their number one listed running back on the depth chart, Mark Ingram, is facing free agency, and they still don't have a weapon opposite of Michael Thomas that is relied upon at this point right now. I don't know about you guys, but this Saints offense may look completely different next year. And again, the Falcons have plenty of weapons, and they're bringing back an offensive coordinator that Matt Ryan is familiar with. So I'm going to go with the Falcons here.
All right. Coming in before the 10-second warning. Aaron, you were pounding the table for the New Orleans Saints having the better of the two offenses in 2019. You have 60 seconds to make your case, sir. Go.
Well, reluctantly, I must point out that basically the Saints offense has consistently been better than the Falcons. No matter how good you think the Falcons offense has been, in the Matt Ryan era, the Falcons have been able to outscore the Saints offense only 3 times in 11 seasons. Again, it's all about the pedigree. Say what you will about Drew Brees' age, but behind that offensive line, he can play, you know, until he's 42 and still put up Drew Brees numbers. You put the talent around him. It's a rotating door of wide receivers. It doesn't matter. They have Michael Thomas. They're going to put Tre'Quan Smith. Oh, and they have this guy by the name of Dez Bryant is sort of stashed away in their back pocket. Alvin Kamara emerged as the number one lead tailback for that team and the offense center around him. So the idea that, they're, you know, Mark Ingram being a free agent is a big deal. Is nothing. Like, Mark Ingram's a perfectly fine player, but that's Alvin Kamara's offense. And again, Drew Brees, Sean Payton, they're just going to keep chugging along.
All right. Eric, you've got 30 seconds to make your rebuttal, sir. Go.
Well, you're speaking to Drew Brees, but in those last 5 regular season games, 4 of them came where he threw for less than 203 total yards in the air. Not to mention in the NFC Championship game, he only threw for 249 and that infamous interception that came in overtime as well. So, again, Drew Brees is getting old. There's no weapon opposite of Michael Thomas. We don't know how good Dez Bryant is going to be when he comes back from his Achilles injury, and there's still questions about it. So, yeah, the Saints are definitely going to take a step back next year.
All right, Aaron, 30 seconds to close this one out. Go.
Look, the Saints didn't have a weapon opposite Michael Thomas last year, and they still, averaged like 32, 33 points a game. So, like, that doesn't mean anything. Tre'Quan Smith's going to improve. The Falcons, look, the Falcons are starting Ty Sambrelo as their right tackle this year. So, like, you know they're going to have some issues in terms of outscoring the Saints, and that's really what we're talking about. Who puts up the most points?
10.
And that's what the Saints are going to wind up doing. We'll see about other topics, which we'll discuss later on. But Saints are going to have the better offense.
All right. We're two questions down, and these guys are firing on all cylinders. I love it. For those of you listening, do not forget, you get to vote. You get to tell us who you think the winner is. Go to thefalcoholic.com, pick your winner, vote in our poll. We appreciate the feedback you guys have given us on this. This has been a fantastic one so far. I'm excited to get through all these questions. So let's just jump into the third question. And Aaron, you're going to lead us off with this one. And this one is very interesting because it sort of points to some of the things you guys have just talked about. And that is this very simple one. The NFC South actually has a lot of talent at the wide receiver position across all of the teams. I think many people would agree, guys like Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Michael Thomas, fantastic wide receivers in the NFC South. So the question is this, it's a very simple one. Which NFC South wide receiver will have the most yards in 2019? This is an open-ended question. Aaron, you chose, of course, the one, the only, Julio Jones to lead the entire NFC South in yards this upcoming season. You have 60 seconds to make your case, sir. Go. Yep.
Quintoris Lopez Jones is Quintoris Lopez Jones. Like, he basically has averaged the most yards in the NFL per game over the last four seasons. He gets almost as many targets. He's the most targeted receiver in the NFC. Julio's production is stable. It is rock solid. It has been consistent the last 3 years. You're thinking, oh, well, Calvin Ridley's going to grow and eat into his production. No, he's going to eat into Sanu's production. Julio consistently gets the same amount of targets per game. That's not going to change under Dirk Cutter. He is a rock. You know what? Dan Quinn wants to be hashtag physical this year. That means more balance. Well, guess what? That means the Falcons are going to be running more play action, which means more deep throws to Julio. So he's going to be able to rack up and continue to rack up yards, even if the Falcons don't throw the ball as much as they did a year ago.
I love it. I love people pounding the table for Julio. You're not going to get an argument from me, but Eric, you don't get to pound the table for Julio. You're going to be pounding the table for one Mike Evans. You've got 60 seconds to make your case, sir. Go.
I'm sure the fans for half a second thought that you were going to say Mike Thomas in this one, but no, I'm going with Mike Evans here. Again, they hired Bruce Arians, and we know what experience Bruce Arians brings to the table as far as his offensive of prowess. Let's look at his numbers back when he was head coach at Arizona and how that offense was fifth in 2017 and third in 2016 in passing attempts. They were ninth that year in 2016 in yards, and they were second in 2015 in yards. Basically, what I'm trying to say is he likes to throw the ball. He likes to get the ball down the field. Mike Evans is 25 years old, and he's a very good, sneaky good receiver, more of a deep threat than Mike Thomas is. So I guess he brings a little bit more versatility to the offense. They may be losing DeSean Jackson this upcoming offseason. So again, it's a fresh start for him and Jameis Winston.
Love it. A lot of passion in these answers. Aaron, you've got 30 seconds to make your rebuttal. Go.
Well, you know, Eric, you made a great case against Mike Thomas, but I wasn't arguing Mike Thomas. I was arguing Quintoris Lopez Jones. And look, yeah, Bruce Arians produces a great offense. Mike Evans is going to get his. He's going to probably be a top five receiver, but he ain't going to outproduce Julio Jones. And when you look at Bruce Arians' offense, he's all about that number two guy. He's not about just basically feeding one receiver. John Brown, Michael Floyd, Donnie Avery, et cetera. Chris Godwin's going to eat this year. So Mike Evans is going to get his numbers, but not more than Julio.
Time. Excellent. All right. Eric, close us out. 30 seconds for your rebuttal. Go.
As much as I love Julio Jones, he's going to have a little competition coming up behind him in Calvin Ridley, whether we want to believe it or not. The kid did lead the team in touchdown catches this year, and he was barely, and I mean barely, third on the team in targets. So I'm pretty sure he's going to see an increase in targets, catches, yards, and touchdowns. Meanwhile, Mike Evans is going to be losing his number two receiver, and he's still going to get a lot of attention, but at the same time, he's still going to be a little bit rejuvenated in this offense. So I think he's going to see the spike in yards this year.
Fantastic start to the first half of this Crossfire podcast. We are halfway through with this Crossfire podcast. We're going to take a quick break. We will be right back. And we are back with the Falcoholics Crossfire podcast. Three questions down, three to go, NFC South edition. Let's dive right into it. Our fourth question, Eric, you're going to lead us off with this one. And this is going to be an interesting one because I think many, many Falcons fans in particular are keen to see improvements in this area going into 2019. Question is simple. Which NFC South team will have the best pass rush in 2019? Eric, you're saying it's going to be the New Orleans Saints. You have 60 seconds to make your case, sir. Go.
Good Lord, I regret this already. yeah, I'm going to say the Saints here. This past season, they were fifth in the league in sacks with 49. And let's be quite honest here. They have the best defensive end in the NFC South in Cam Jordan. And Marcus Davenport, their first-round draft pick, did play well in spurts last year. They're going to get a healthy Sheldon Rankins back. So I think that defensive line, they're already built some cohesion last year, and they're going to build it even more. We still don't know what this defensive line is going to look like for Atlanta next year. We're hoping Tack McKinley takes that next step. We hope Vic Beasley takes that next step. We hope that Grady Jarrett can have some help alongside of him, but we don't know as of yet. Right now, we know what the Saints have. They have the best defensive end in the NFC South. They have the more weapons, lack of a better term, on the defensive line. So I'm going to go with the Saints on this.
All right. Aaron, best pass rush. Before we started this, you picked the Atlanta Falcons. You have 60 seconds to make your case for the home team. Go.
Well, look, you know, the Falcons sort of wagered on coaching up their guys last season. It didn't quite work out. I think it's going to pay dividends in 2019. You're going to see Tack make that leap in year three, which most pass rushers do. You're going to see Grady Jarrett continue to produce. I think, you know, hot take here, but Vic Beasley is going to have a double-digit sack season because you're going to see Vic Beasley get like five of his sacks off of cleanup sacks, which he consistently does most years. He'll get like two more off of stunts and twists. And guess what? All he has to do is beat an offensive tackle three times, and Vic Beasley is going to be a 10-sack guy. You got Jack Crawford coming back, six sacks last year. Deidre Sanaat's going to grow. Steven Means is going to get more opportunities. And yes, the Falcons have two question marks in terms of their rotation at defensive end and defensive tackle. But guess what? They're going to be just fine. They're going to draft one of those guys early in the draft. They're going to draft a good pass rusher. They're going to draft a good free agent. They're going to wind up getting 40, 45 sacks this year.
Wow. Wow. Man, that was a lot squeezed into 60 seconds. Eric, you've got 30 seconds to pound the table again for the Saints. I'm very sorry that I said that out loud. Go.
once again, man, you know, with this offense that I'm expecting to take a step back, it means that the defense for the Saints is going to have to step up to the plate a little bit more this year. And they're going to be relied upon a little bit more on that defensive line. Again, Cam Jordan is one of the better defensive ends, not in just the NFC South, but the entire NFL. Getting a healthy Sheldon Rankins back is key. They have, quite honestly, they possibly have the better rotation right now than the Falcons right now. So they, like I said, they have a better constructed defensive line right now than the Falcons do.
All right. Aaron, let's close this one out. You have 30 seconds to make your rebuttal. Go.
The Saints' pass rush is going to decline this year. Cameron Jordan's turning 30. Sheldon Rankers is coming off an Achilles injury. Those are their two best pass rushers. You're not going to see the same level of production out of those guys. Their secondary is going to take a step back, and they rely so much on their blitz to create pressure. You also have the Falcons playing some of the worst offensive lines in the league in 2019. You know, there are 11 teams that gave up 48 or more sacks last year. The Falcons play six of them: Houston, Jacksonville, Arizona, Seattle, San Francisco, and Tennessee. So they're going to be able to pad their stats a little bit this year.
I believe the Saints play the same opponents, don't they?
You can't. We're done. We're done, Eric. Okay.
Objection, Your Honor. Objection. Can we have that on the record?
We've got our first legal objection in the Crossfire podcast. It is a first coming from Aaron, of course. We're going to move to the next question on that note. And this one, this is a Falcons focused look. And Aaron, you're going to start us off here. Obviously, the Falcons have to play the Panthers, the Saints, the Bucks two times every single year. And the question is a very simple one. Which of these three NFC South teams will the Falcons play their best football against in 2019? Aaron, you're saying that they're going to play their best football against the Panthers in 2019 in the NFC South. You have 60 seconds to make your case, sir. Go.
Well, look, you look at Dan Quinn's record against these teams. He has the best record against the Panthers. They're 6-2 over the last four seasons, right? And the main reason why they're able to have so much success against Carolina is because Carolina's offense isn't really built to play from behind. You see that evidence where the Falcons' defense is giving up an average of about 20.5 points per game. And when you have the Falcons' offense, you know, they can outscore that pretty easily, even in a sort of a down effort. And that's one of the reasons why they have so much success against Carolina. And that, you know, that's not really the weakness that the Falcons have when they face these run first teams like Carolina is. And you every now and then you'll get a team like Philadelphia or some AFC team to sort of be this run first attack and will push around the Falcons. But since the Falcons know Carolina so well, they tend to have a lot of success against them. And I think you will continue to see that in 2019.
Fantastic. Under the wire, Eric, you were saying that in 2019, the Falcons will play their best football against the Saints. You have 60 seconds, sir. Make your case. Go.
You know, when I win this Crossfire, I think I'm pretty much going to win it off this question. I mean, the Falcons and the Saints, okay? This is easily the biggest rivalry in the NFC South, arguably the biggest rivalry in the NFC the past several seasons. I don't need to really go into detail as far as why this is such an important matchup. Of course, the Saints are coming off a 13-3 season where they won the NFC. And in both games against the Falcons this year, the first one in Atlanta, they stole one that was back and forth going into the last drive of the game. And the second one in New Orleans, let's be quite honest, the Saints got the win, but it wasn't really that convincing. I think the Falcons know that when on their best day, when they're playing their A game, they can knock the Saints off. And let's be quite honest. Also, again, I think the Saints are going to take a step back this year. The Falcons are going to have a chip on their shoulder, and they're going to exercise that chip on New Orleans.
I like it. Aaron, you've got 30 seconds to close this one out. Go.
Look, the question was who the Falcons will play their best against, not who's the biggest rival. And that's simply the Falcons are 6-2 under Dan Quinn against the Panthers and 3-5 against the Saints. The Saints always have their number because the Saints can put up points on this Falcons defense. They average 28.6 points per game against the Falcons defense. And that's a difficult number to hit for the Falcons. And that's why they continually lay some of these eggs against the Saints year in and year out. Look, I love the rivalry. I get amped for the rivalry. Five. But this is not a matchup that favors the Falcons compared to the Panthers.
Time. All right. Eric, 30 seconds to wrap this one out. Head to the last question. Go.
Once again, did they forget the fact that Sean Payton did the choking gesture on the sideline a couple years ago? Do they forget that Deebo Jones has played his best games as a Falcon against New Orleans? Do they forget the individual matchups between Julio Jones and Marcus and Marshawn Lattimore? Trust me, there's a lot of things to pick apart in this rivalry here. And again, the Saints can bring the best out of the Falcons. And when they're on their A game, they're going to run over New Orleans this year.
All right. That wraps up our fifth question of six. That's going to send us into our final question. You guys could probably see where this one is heading. This is, of course, going to be a fantastic close to what has been a fantastic Crossfire podcast. And again, let me remind you guys, listen to the full podcast, listen to the six questions, go to thefalcoholic.com, vote for your winner, tell us who you want to see back on Crossfire, who you thought made the strongest argument for each of these questions. And to wrap this NFC South-focused edition of Crossfire up, the question is a simple one. Eric, you're going to start us off. Which NFC South team will win the division in 2019? Eric, you are pounding the table for our Atlanta Falcons. You have 60 seconds to make your case, sir. Go.
You just said it yourself, David. Fans, I want you guys to realize that my opponent doesn't even think this team is going to win a division. Again, bringing everybody back healthy, getting Keanu Neal back healthy, getting Ricardo Allen back healthy, getting that offense on the same page again, getting Devontae Freeman back healthy, fixing the offensive line, adding some new juice to the defensive line, getting Dan Quinn back as a defensive coordinator. It's going to help this team. Trust me. There's a lot of question marks around the NFC South. Is Ron Rivera on the hot seat? Do the Bucs need a few years to get everything going before we can really take them seriously? How much of a step back are the Saints going to take after a collapse as a 13-3 team? It's there for the taking for the Falcons this year. They got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball, and they're going to be getting healthy, as I stated. And again, Dan Quinn has a chip on his shoulder as well. He quite possibly could be on a hot seat going into this season as well. So, but again, there's a lot of things in favor for the Falcons compared to the other teams in the division.
Time. All right. Aaron, instead of the Falcons, you were picking the Carolina Panthers, not the Bucks, not the Saints. Carolina Panthers will win the division in 2019. You have 60 seconds to make your case, sir. Go.
I want to let the record show that the peek behind the curtain of this show is like you don't always get to choose who you want to argue in every single argument.
This is accurate. So
the fact that I don't get to argue for the Falcons is not because I chose the Panthers. It was just basically plan B. So I want that to listeners to understand it. Brian, that being said, look, the Panthers are going into basically won as many games as the Falcons this year with a Cam Newton only having six healthy seasons. They're going into year two under Norv Turner. We've seen offenses like the Falcons make second-year jumps under their offensive coordinator. They get a healthy Cam Newton. They got Christian McCaffrey. They have a softer schedule than the Falcons. You look at the two different opponents that the Falcons play versus Carolina. Carolina plays Green Bay and Washington. They have a combined record under Cam Newton, 6-3 against those teams. You look at the two opponents the Falcons play under Minnesota and Philadelphia. Under Matt Ryan, they have a combined 5-11 record against those teams. So those two games are going to be the deciding factor on this schedule, and it could wind up helping the Panthers win the division.
Time. Ooh, just under. All right. Eric, you've got 30 seconds to help us close out this question, sir. Go.
Fans, just hear me close. How many of you really think that the Falcons are truly going to take that next step this year, especially when they get everybody back healthy? We all know that there's talent everywhere on this team. There's just a few things that they need to fix here and there. And trust me, the way this offseason has started under Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff, they've already started clearing out house and looking to add more talent to this team.
Five.
They're not that far away, folks. Trust me, the Falcons will win the division this year.
Aaron, you get the privilege of closing out this Crossfire podcast with your 30-second rebuttal, sir. Make your case. Go.
Look, Carolina, I mentioned it on the earlier question. They're sort of a one-dimensional run-first offense. But guess what? You look at their schedule. They're playing the AFC South. They're playing the NFC West, as well as Washington and Green Bay. They're not really facing a whole lot of teams that are really built to make force them to play from behind. You got like Houston, you got like Seattle, you got the Rams, you got the Colts maybe, and then the teams in the division. And the rest of their schedule is sort of tailor-made for their style of football, which is run the football, play good defense, and they're going to rack up a lot of wins outside this division,
five,
in my opinion, and potentially help them win the division.
All right, and there it is. Six up, six down, NFC South focused edition of the Crossfire podcast. One last time, folks, go to thefalcoholic.com, cast your votes for your winner, and we will see. We will of course, announce it on the site. You can pay attention to the poll there and through and through Twitter. As Aaron said, I do want to make this point for those who are unaware, our combatants do have to trade back and forth the side that they're going to take on the question. So do not make assumptions that Aaron would have chosen the Panthers.
We do have the options to change the questions if we like, and Aaron chose not to change the last question of the winner of the division. He stuck with the Panthers. Let's just go ahead and throw that out there.
Well, if we're going to go full disclosure here at the end of the show, I didn't choose the Saints in any question. Eric chose the thing for the pass rush question. He purposely said, I got first dibs. He messaged me and said, I got first dibs on this question. I'm picking the Saints. So let that be known, people. I argue the Panthers because I refuse to pick the Saints to win the division. Okay? I want you to know.
Damn.
I want you to know.
Damn, I love it.
Remember that when you're voting. No one, Eric did not choose the Saints one time. Eric chose them.
You did. Didn't you choose the Saints to have the better offense?
Oh, yeah. I didn't choose that. I was thrusted upon me, so I had to make my argument. And look, I was fighting with my hand behind my back, guys. And so I did my best job. So remember that when you're voting on Falcoholic.
This, folks, is what Crossfire is absolutely about. The passion is everything I hoped it would be, actually. Aaron, you were fantastic. Eric, as always, fantastic job. I love this, and you guys really brought it home. So, Eric, I'm going to start with you. Tell our listeners where they can find you, what you've got going on.
You can find me on Twitter @_Eric_Robinson. Be on the lookout. I have a Forgotten Falcons column that will be coming out soon on Tim Dwight. As well as getting ready for the NFL Combine, which starts next week. So once that kicks off, you will definitely see some more scouting reports from me, maybe a couple more mock drafts here and there, but be on the lookout for that. Just check out the Falcoholic site as a whole, man. There's some great content coming out.
Yep, absolutely. Aaron, tell our listeners where they can find you, what you've got going on, sir.
I'm on Twitter @FalcFans. You know me as the host of the Locked On Falcons podcast. You know me as the co-host of the Falcon Central radio podcast, which you can find on profootballcentral.com. Of course, putting content back on falcfans.com. You know, I bow in the presence of the Falcoholic overlords. But, you know, you got some additional content that you can sort of supplement over there. There's a mock draft database. There's going to be some leftover mailbag stuff. This weekend, you're going to also be able to get a 7-round mock draft from me as well in the next couple of days, and some pre-combine content as well coming up over the next week. So definitely check out falcfans.com.
Absolutely. For those of you who have not been there, I definitely recommend it. Aaron does a fantastic job with the coverage at his site. So with that said, again, one last time, go to thefalcoholic.com, vote for your winner in this Crossfire podcast. So for Eric Robinson and Aaron Freeman, this is David Walker. Thank you guys for tuning in to this week's Crossfire podcast. And we will talk with you next time.